Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls. Steve and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are here, and we're salty. We're pissed.
I'm pissed. In the words of Sandy Bergen, I'm pissed.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God,
what a terrible,
Steven.
Terrible week. Rob, can I just let me do the three episodes we've seen
wait,
here.
Hold on.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Theob is voted out. Craig is voted out. And worst of all, no one is voted out. Like, you couldn't ask for a worse trilogy of episodes. You know, all of my favorites, or two of my favorites gone, and then worst of all, no one gone.
You really did a number on us this time, Australian Survivor. You had to go and mess with everything. You had to mess it up. We were doing so good.
Yes, we had a string of episodes where people left.
Yeah, we had a string of episodes where people were leaving. People were getting voted out. We were having fun. People
were
blowing up my Twitter timeline of talking about the goddess, Phoebe, the G. Oddis, Stephen, the Yas Queen. Yes.
The what queen?
Yas Queen. You don't know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yas Queen. Yeah.
Queen.
Okay.
She's gone, and she's gone now.
And she... people are complaining, rightfully so. Okay, Survivor's not fair, right? We all know Survivor's not fair. And, you know, only per people who production has any obligation to are we the viewers. But...
well, they really screwed us over this time.
They screwed us. They screwed we the viewers. They really, really, really screwed Phoebe. You know, this is the second time where Phoebe has had a plan in place to take out one of her allies. And then not only does the tribal counselor, does the elimination in question... not go through, but they have the tribal council anyway. And in that tribal council, Jonathan then like lays out the entire plan. So like, you know what, like it'll be one thing, you know, this first with Kat, right? With Kat, like, whatever, Figs had already quit and they're just like, okay, we're going to have them to tribal council anyway. Cause we got some dead air time, you know? And the whole plan is laid out. Kat knows she's going and boom, no one's going. And then worst of all, last night, or whatever we're saying, episode 14, she's got this whole plan to turn on Christy. You know, Jonathan has the tribal council, everything's laid out, and boom. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, this was not good. This was not good. Why, Steven? Why did they do this? And it was like that they went from that these lopsided tribes... where you have 9 on one side and 5 on one side. Okay, it's about to be 9-4, and you keep the most exciting person you have still in the game. And they said, how about this? how about 10-4? What about that? Oh, that'll be something.
And we'll screw over like the person who's playing the best game right now.
Right. Our biggest fan favorite. We will screw her over for no reason.
Also, like, what a great move from her, right? She's about to save her own butt by turning on her friend. That's freaking good TV, you know? That's what headlines are made of, at least here in America. You know, that's what headlines are made of. But I know that maybe in Australia, like, you know, mateship, they don't like that.
Mateship, yeah. Well, you know, I will say that the silver lining that comes out of all of this is that if I'm not watching the episode the second it drops, that people were getting too worked up with the Phoebe. And I go on my Twitter timeline, it's like people are like, I'm not saying anything, but if you know, she's
the saying anything.
Yeah, she's the best ever. Like, right. Oh my God, slay, slay Phoebe.
Are you, so you like to see the mighty humbled?
No, no. I loved Phoebe. I loved her. She was great. I'm mad at what they did, but I feel like that the one saving grace is that people were so excited about Phoebe that they had no chill talking about Australian Survivor. And I was spoiled on every single one of these episodes by people just going nuts about how Phoebe's the best. Phoebe's the best. Phoebe got screwed. Survivor Reddit had a post like, did blank is the most screwed over player of all time? I'm like, okay, well, I doubt Sue's not going home this episode.
Only one person who that could be.
Right.
It's true. Please. I mean, I have no problem with people tweeting out spoilers. Please don't tag me in your spoilers. I'm watching these episodes literally until the minute before we're podcasting about them. Please do not tag me in your tweets with spoilers.
Yeah. No, but it really
did. Tag Rob.
No, stop. In all seriousness, they really did a number on Phoebe. And I don't know what necessarily the upside was. And I'm being, let me just be, to be completely fair, if that vote goes through, Christy gets voted out, very likely chance Vival goes to tribal council and Connor, Kate, and Sue vote out Phoebe at the next tribal council and she finds no idol. So you very easily could paint the case that, well,
she was going
to go out anyway when we have another tribal council and another challenge that Vival is going to lose. So it's not like, oh, if she would have saved it, then she probably would have won the game.
Right.
But if production was going to really have a thumb on the scale here in this season, I don't know why, if you do this, why not do this move? Like, I thought at first, maybe I'm like, oh, well, maybe there was more to this story. I thought, well, maybe Phoebe was going to get voted out at that tribal council. And I thought at first, well, maybe they saved Phoebe here. Maybe it looked like, okay, she had a move in place. Like back, remember when it was going to be Kat at that tribal council? And we thought like, oh, it's going to be Rowan. Rowan's getting voted out. But it did seem like from all of the corroborating evidence afterwards that Phoebe was going to be the person, or she was going to be safe. And it was going to be Christy that got voted out.
But maybe you're right. Like, maybe they thought, well, now Phoebe gets to keep Christy in this game. She just needs to sway one person. She needs to just sway Connor or Kate. And then she's got a freaking majority in that tribe. Maybe she'll be safe.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. But then, you know, how about a merge at 14? If you were going to merge at 13, couldn't you have merged at 14? Or are we being so hypocritical right now, Stephen, in terms? And you're not. You haven't said anything. You're just like a bump on a log as I'm ranting. But
I had my rant. I did my rant before, you know,
but not about this.
I'm sorry.
Not about this.
Your,
not about merging.
I don't even know what you're ranting about anymore.
Yeah. I'm saying that could they have merged at 14 or do you feel like that now we have become what we have vowed never to become, what we have vowed to never become. And now are we saying that like a production save our favorites by changing the game?
It's happening. I mean, you know, it should happen for our favorites, not for their favorites.
Yeah. But,
Yeah, and you know, the story that's lost here is Craig. Craig, my favorite. I mean, he's in my favorites. You know, I don't want to ever pick one because then people's feelings get hurt. But he was up there.
I thought that the line that he had in his final words was like, bitch stole my idol. Like, that was great. That was great. That might have been the greatest Australian Survivor moment yet.
Craig was a hit machine. He had great quotes throughout, great confessionals, awesome in challenges. Running the show strategically. I mean, we'll talk about all this. We'll talk about all these different choices and votes.
We're just talking through the headlines here. So, the production really blundered here with this. And Stephen, I'll tell you what, I don't even like Christy. I don't even like Christy.
Yeah, I don't love Christy either.
Yeah.
But you know, she was always second fiddle to Phoebe. That's the thing. Who's left in this game? Who's strategic? We got Nick. We got Matt. I love Connor, but we haven't seen a lot of strategy.
I think you might be sleeping on the sort of like the, there are some women, I think, at over at Sinapu Brooke Flick. I think Jenna Louise, I think you're sleeping on as well.
What have we seen from JL?
She was co-pilot with Craig and then she just hasn't been to tribal council in 6 weeks. And I'm talking
Who drives when there's a co-pilot? The pilot. The pilot is the one, like the co-pilot is the one sitting next to the pilot.
Yeah. So I do think that there is some untapped drama over at Sinapu, but I feel like that it's it is
The Vival stuff has been great because thank God Phoebe is there. But I do think that she has been hiding, like the greatness of Phoebe has saved the 9 tribal councils in a row that Vival has been to.
And really, like, you know, I mean, we were sort of saying it was a somewhat fair twist. You know, they made idiotic decisions, or they, you know, Rowan got voted out. Maybe it would have been more balanced tribes. It's likely that they still would have had a very strong advantage, right? It's very likely that Sinapu, with that twist of like you get to pick your own tribe, was always going to have an advantage. And I really thought they were going to switch again, because I thought like with that sort of advantage, like, you can't let it go on 5 tribal councils and just see this other tribe picked off one by one. But you know, maybe that was the solution. Maybe another swap.
You know, it's
or merge, another merge, whatever we're saying.
It's interesting on Survivor where it's like the way that like, you just like play things out and then like the curve like exponentially. Like it started off, it was like there was like a tiny bit of an advantage for Sinapu, over Vival. And then and then it was like the curve like took off. Yeah. And then that advantage just became bigger and bigger and bigger. And there was just no way to change up the momentum. And that's why I think it's probably... Maybe this could be a flaw in the way this 55-day season is constructed, where on American Survivor in a 39-day season, where you have this sort of swap after 4 vote outs, it's going to play out for 2-3 votes, and then eventually we're going to merge. So you don't have an opportunity for things to spiral out of control like they are here, where we've had, I mean, how many challenges? Is it literally 9 challenges?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and there's rewards baked in there as well. But it really
rewards
has been,
are important. Celebrate.
And I don't want to make it seem like that these episodes have not been good. They've been good, but mostly because Phoebe was so good. If you had these Vival going to tribal council 7 times in a row here, and you did not have Phoebe on board, you know, playing idols twice in that run and then pulling off these flips along the way, I think that this would have been actually probably rather boring, I think, with Vival going to tribal council over and over and over again.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you know, they might have mixed something up and, you know, mixed it up a little bit in that case.
Yeah. I have lots of questions for you, Stephen.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, then in terms of...
I got a question for you, Rob. Okay, good. Why doesn't Phoebe walk with people? You know, like Kate or Christy comes over and says to Kate, "Hey, Kate, I'd like to talk to you." Phoebe doesn't go with her. Tell me why.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, okay, it's my turn to sort of have a meeting over here. I wonder maybe is that potentially Australian custom where you don't want to be more overbearing? It's like, no. We're not having a meeting. We're not having no privacy here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see two people talking, you want to be in that conversation. Like, you don't even care what it's about. You know, and especially for Phoebe on a vote like this, where it's so crucial that she manage the information. And she knows that Kate has information she doesn't want Christy to tell. Christy has information she doesn't want Kate to tell. She even says to Christy, like, "Hey, don't listen to Kate." And then Kate and Christy walk off together, and she's like, "Okay, have fun."
Yeah.
Don't talk about each other. Don't talk about strategy while you're off on your walk together.
No, don't do that. Anything but that.
So I thought that was a little bit nutty.
Yeah, that was wild. What about Jonathan at Tribal Council really giving Phoebe the third? Is it the third degree?
Yeah, he really drilled in.
He really went. He went very far there before a vote that they weren't even going to vote for. Don't you feel like that they should sort of like take it easy when it's going to if you're going to bring everybody out to Tribal Council?
Oh, you mean last time? So here's my thought, right? Like, they want Brooke to make an informed decision. And as a result, like, Brooke has to get information. But obviously, because freaking Brooke is there, everyone on Vival is being very close-lipped. And because, you know, Phoebe's about to blindside her friend. So Jonathan's asking these questions. No one is giving him anything. So he's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm just going to tell them everything. What was it like when you played your idol, Phoebe? And I thought that was crappy. I really did. And I get the point. Like, they need Brooke to know so she can make a decision, you know. But he was relaying information that should have been on the tribe people to sort of relay. And they were, to their credit, playing it well, right? They were, dissembling, they were hiding information. And rather than, you know, them being rewarded for their smart strategy, they're basically being penalized, because then Jonathan's like, okay, you're not going to say anything? Well, I'm just going to feed her the information myself.
Steven, I can't get over this advantage. Why on earth is it even an advantage to go from 9 people to 10 people on your tribe? I mean, I think that you could spin that in a lot of ways. That's a disadvantage.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, you know, I don't know. There's so much weird about it. Like,
who was that for? Why do that at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe if Vival won, they could have stolen like Nick or like Lee or something. Like maybe there's that, right? Like if Vival wins, they could choose a beast from the other team. Did Brooke make the right choice?
To take Sue. That's one of my questions that I have for you.
Now you say that after I've already asked it.
Yeah, I don't think that was such a great move. I don't know. It was like, okay, well, let's get Sue because she seems like she'll be an easy person to vote out. But it's about to be the merge. And you're not going to vote her out anytime soon. And Sue's not going to be around for a while, I think, now that she's out of that situation at Vival. So I don't love that situation. I feel like that, why not bring Connor back and potentially try to get him back into the fold? I mean, if it's not Brooke trying to go after Kylie's all women thing, I mean, I guess because Connor got into the whole blow up with Flick and then by proxy, he sort of damaged goods.
I think it was a great move from Brooke. I think she made the exact right choice. And here's why not Connor, right? Brooke's goal should be, you know, she's in a great position on a great tribe. She wants to destabilize things as little as possible. Connor brings a lot of potential instability because, A, like you said, like he had a thing with Flick. Flick is Brooke's number one ally. Why would he, you know, for her to bring Connor over to her tribe where, like, he could cause animosity? What if they go to tribal council? Then her group on the Sinapu tribe has fewer numbers. Mm-hmm. Phoebe, like, you know, as Brooke said, Phoebe's playing the game. You know, she's playing aggressively. Smart of Brooke not to bring her over. Christy, you know, they just went into a thing about how neurotic and crazy Christy is. Why would Brooke want to bring her over? That leaves Sue. Sue's a safe choice. You know, the only people she knows on current Sinapu are Nick, who she betrayed, and who obviously there's no love lost there. And Jenna Lewis, who maybe there's some sort of something. You know, Sue is not going to be, you know, making any huge moves or like upending the apple cart. She's a very safe, very obvious vote. She's not going to be able to kind of like argue that she should stay over someone else. I think Brooke made the exact right choice and picked the person who would be the least likely to destabilize things.
Yeah, it's not bad. Kate, you don't have love for Kate pick there?
Oh, no. I think Kate too is like, you know, she's too much, you know,
too much. What?
She's more than Sue.
She's more than Sue. Greater than Sue.
Yeah. She's like a fit person. You know, she could argue that she's deserves to stay if they lose a challenge.
And Sue can't.
I agree. Kate would also be from the outside. You know, not hearing her rationale about Kate.
Defend your boy, Connor, because Connor has not impressed me over these laughs from when you were sky high on Connor.
Don't put me in this position. What about Phoebe's decision to blindside Craig? Was that the right call?
Well, for Phoebe, it's not bad. I mean, that you get rid of somebody. I mean, ultimately,
then they lose the next challenge immediately.
Yeah, I guess. Shot. Well, then. That I can talk this through with you, but I need to take it back a step further. Was it the wrong move to vote out Andrew? Because I really don't understand the logic of Craig voting against Andrew.
It was the wrong move.
And then immediately, well, I thought then he's going to move forward with these new people and then try to make a go of it with this new Vival. It was like, all right, let's just vote out Andrew. He's our ally. And then let's go back to voting out these other people. Like, I thought you were going to at least start fresh with them and work with them. And then it was like, okay. And then also we want Christy happy. So moving forward, we're going to tell everybody exactly what the plan is going to be. And we'll tell Phoebe that she's getting voted out. There's no way she has an idol, even though there's an idol on this beach that I've been looking for forever and I can't find.
Yeah, that was crazy. I thought that was a mistake. Well, Connor was the one who told Phoebe, right? So they already knew basically by that point. I agree. I think voting out Andrew is a mistake. But
it didn't have to be, though. It could have been fine if you moved forward with that group. I don't understand.
What do you mean moved forward with that group?
Well, why? If they decide, if after that move, after you blindside Connor and Sue I mean, then the next vote has to be Sue.
But you're under the misapprehension that Connor and Sue didn't know about it. In fact, we even see that episode. Sue's like, well, it had, you know, I get it. They knew about the vote. Like, they weren't blindsided there. Like, they voted with Andrew, who was their ally. You and I, we had this argument already.
Okay. Well, we did not, because that was the last episode we saw.
Yeah, where Andrew's voted out, but you were insisted that, that like Connor and Sue didn't know about it. And I was like, no, they knew.
Well, then I just don't understand what their game is about, of why that Andrew's not going to the jury. Why throw pity votes?
It's like
to him.
A loyalty thing. You know, people, you know, Rob, it's not just freaking like machines making strategic decisions. We have real people here.
That's where you want to go with me?
They're doing the robot. It's not just machines being, you know. It's people. They have feelings. It's not like, oh, this is the strategically optimized move here. You know, like, and especially mateship.
Yeah, mateship. If you were going to go against Andrew, I don't know why you didn't keep him in that spot. And then if you were gonna go against him,
what's her name too?
Why not vote out Sue?
Why did they vote out, what's her name?
Who?
Your Kate friend.
Again?
No.
Who's my friend?
The one that you love so much. Bianca.
Bianca would have changed the whole season. They would have kept her in the game. So to me, I didn't really understand what they were doing there. So then let's just go back to, could you explain what was going on with Kylie in the bed?
Yeah, that was interesting.
What was that?
It seems like, so I get that. I do get that a lot. You know, like probably Kylie every night has a shitty spot. Like again, Rob, like, this is not just a game of strategy. This is a game of humanity. And, you know, so Kylie has a bad bed spot, right? And probably every night she gets the same bed spot. Kylie, I have so much sympathy for you. When I was in Token Sheens, every night I was next to Sandy. And Sandy would toss and turn in her sleep and she would snore. And it's like, if you've got a bad bed spot.
I'm pissed.
A lot of Sandy tonight. I got Sandy on my mind. Every night... you know, you're getting a bad spot. You're not sleeping well. You're unhappy, and you suck it up because you don't want to be the one to complain and be like, "Hey guys, can I have a better spot?" So, you know, late at night, one night, Kylie picks a spot that's not her usual spot. Everyone else, it like kind of destabilizes everything because people, for the most part, like sleep in their typical spots. And, you know, Kylie doesn't really know how to handle the kind of antagonism because she's like a nice person. And so like, everyone's like, what the heck? What happened? And so she kind of like does this bad job of justifying herself by, you know, implicitly blaming everyone else. And it ends up blowing up for her.
I could see Kylie being the first person voted out at the merge.
At the merge?
Yeah.
I hope it's not Nick, but don't you think it could be Nick?
It certainly could be Nick. That's definitely that is something that is a possible outcome. But I could just see Kylie just being a person where everybody's like, all right, we've had it with her.
Yeah,
with her, with her Women's Alliance and with the bed thing. I feel like that she's being set up here as definitely somebody who's one of the next couple of votes.
Yeah, I think you're right. The problem is like everyone who's, you know, really playing hard is going home.
Yeah. Steven, we've talked about how much we love Phoebe, and we do. Nobody can ever say that we do not love Phoebe, and we are completely, absolutely gutted that she's gone.
Yeah.
But, Steven, did she play that last vote wrong? Should she have stuck with Phoebe, stuck with Christy and potentially gone to Rock, some sort of 2-2 split?
Yeah.
Steven, put out your hand. I want to do something. Put out your hand. Okay, I'm going to put something in there. Oh, all right.
Okay.
All right. Don't make fun of me.
Yeah.
Don't make fun of me, but I got to put something in your hand. Uh-oh. All right. This is my trust. Okay.
Oh, wow.
You have it.
Wow.
You have it now.
Oh, wow. It's like a buzzer sound.
Yes. You're going to do the know-it-alls tomorrow night without me.
Oh God. What's happening?
Tyson. I
not
trust
Tyson.
You.
Ugh.
Yes. With Tyson Apostle. Josh Wiggler's on assignment.
What?
Yeah.
God, first you stick me with Wiggler, which is bad enough. Now it's bad to worse.
All
Tyson.
Right. And you have my trust, and now you can't break it.
Okay.
Yeah. What was that? What was that about?
What was what about?
Kate and Connor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Rob, will you talk for? I need to get a charger. My computer's about to die.
All right. Steven's about to get a charger, of course. So I didn't set up at the top of the show. Hashtag RHAP. We're going to get your questions. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. Waiting to get your questions from Twitter. I've also got some questions from our Survivor AU email address, survivorau
at robiswebsite.com. And as I mentioned, Survivor Know-It-Alls kicks off Millennials versus Gen X Eve tonight here as we get ready for the premiere of Survivor 33. And then, of course, I will have exit interviews on Thursday with the very poor soul who's the first person kicked off of season 33 of Survivor. Plus, we'll have our first recap podcast of the season with Michelle Fitzgerald and voicemails with Kurt Clark coming up on Friday. Steven, have you watched the first 8 minutes of Survivor yet?
I have. It's so exciting.
I haven't watched
it yet. Battle of the Generations.
Yes.
Millennials versus Gen X. What about the boomers?
What about the
three tribe season?
Yeah, where's Sue? Where's Dez? Bring them back.
Wait, there's a lot we haven't talked about here, Rob.
Okay, well, I didn't mind ending the show.
Okay, good. Because I want to talk about the Craig vote. I'm still upset.
All right, let's talk about the Craig vote. I mean, who are you upset at? Are you upset at Craig's side? Or are you upset at Phoebe for targeting him?
I want to say, was it wrong? Who should Phoebe have targeted? Because we all agree that Craig was a mistake. Look, there's some virtue to doing Craig, right? Because Craig is the strategic glue of this of that tribe. He was the decision maker. The idea is if you cut off the head of the dragon, I don't know what comes after that, but you got to cut off the head of the dragon. But, you know, my thought is, Craig is the one freaking challenge competitor you guys got.
Yeah, I think you could make a strong case again that Sue is the pick, she was the person. And yes, and Sue is she's stout. She's good in the challenges, but she was never on board with Team Phoebe and Christy. Where at least you had where Craig voted with them on the Andrew vote, and maybe you could maybe potentially see some sort of like, okay, Jenna Louise, Craig, and what's left from Aganoa coming together post-merge, then possibly that scenario could have played out.
And Craig's going to be a bigger target at the merge. You know, Sue is always, you know, she's going to be solidly Vavau always. You know, she voted with Andrew. If she gets to the merge, she's a, you know, just going to float right through, right? I thought keep Craig around.
Yeah. Craig, he didn't seem like he was really like drunk with power or anything like that. I think that he's somebody that you really could have worked with. I mean, he was a real threat, I thought, to win the game.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah. So sadly for Phoebe, maybe if she ends up keeping him around, you think that it would have been potentially we could have seen Vavau win one of these challenges?
Probably not. But, you know, there's the hope.
Yeah.
Were you rooting? I was, you know, at a certain point, I realized that I was always rooting for Sinapu to win just because it was like this, you know, I don't know. I was just, you know, I wasn't ready to see what would happen with Vavau won.
That's what you were rooting for. You were rooting for every challenge. You were rooting for Sinapu to win.
I think I might have a tendency to root for the top dog rather than the underdog. I kind of want the underdog to get, to get what they deserve.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you just from selfishly, like, I feel like I would have been so confused if Sinapu ever had to go to tribal council. I would have been like half the people over there. I mean, we haven't talked about them in weeks.
The crazy thing is it's 31 days in. They have been there a full month and Phoebe did not make the merge. She was there a month.
Not dateable. She's still not dateable, believe it or not.
Isn't that insane? Like how many? I mean, to be fair, she hasn't survived that many votes because there haven't been that many votes, but she's been there a month.
It is crazy to think that they've just passed the halfway point, and it's day 31. I mean, in terms of like the U.S. Survivor game is almost over, and
you're staring at the end. You're like, if I got like two more votes to pass, then I'm in the finals. No, here you're like, I have 30 more votes to get through.
I mean, day 31.
Half of them will be false.
In the Amazon is like the family visit. We're down to the final six.
Yeah. The crazy thing is that probably next tribal council, they're going to bring everybody back who's previously been voted out, as well as some new people who weren't even in the game to start with.
Yeah. But it looks like next week we're going to have the merge. Are you excited to finally get to the merge, Steven? Merge, not a merge?
I am very excited to get to the merge. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I think it's finally time to see some of the dynamics that have been brewing at Sinapu kind of play out. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, it's too bad that none of the big players from Vavau are still in it. You know, I really was hoping for a Nick Craig reunion. Like that's what I really wanted out of this season. I didn't get it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on over at Sinapu. And again, we didn't see a ton of them because they end up avoiding tribal council all three episodes from this week, with the exception of Brooke, who just came by for a cameo at that second tribal council. So We have to talk about Nick and what's going on over there with the Sue thing. Because that I thought he did not handle that particularly well when Sue shows up. I mean, he's got this Arya Stark-like list of names of people that voted him out like on day three.
Right.
And, you know, quite some time ago. And, boy, he's not going to let that go. And it does not seem to be to the betterment of his game to continue to discuss this at length in front of everybody every time he sees somebody from his old tribe.
The in front of everybody thing is what I feel like it's not a bad move to like talk to Sue about it and like heal, you know, rather than talk to Sue about it and like, you really hurt me. I think Nick actually might have tried to. I got the sense that Nick tried to have a frank conversation about things, right? He was like, you hurt me. You know, what was that about? Like, let's clear the air. And he was not expecting Sue to be as defensive as she was. And to some degree, if Sue had just been like, you know, you're right. It was a situation. I'm so sorry. Let's move forward. Like the end. But Sue was like, well, can't change that. Can I? Like, what? Like,
she's great. I really do like Sue. I'm quite a big Sue fan.
Yeah. No, I like Sue too. I just prefer Nick.
And Connor.
Connor has so much heart.
Yeah. I mean, when Nick went and brought Jenna Louise out and said, like, hey, just so you know, I thought that wasn't great, but at least that was in private. But I just he really got into it with Sue in front of everybody. And I feel like I want Nick to go so far in this game, but he just keeps reminding everybody of, boy, this guy is going to be somebody that we can't forget about ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long game, right? Like, we're seeing a few moments picked out of a freaking month. You know, maybe he did have the private conversation and then like they were hanging around the shelter and he was like, you know, he brought it up again, you know, like you're freaking in that shelter for 24 hours a day. You know, they haven't done anything at Vavau. At Sinapu, they haven't gone to tribal council once. They have no strategy to enact, you know, he's like, man, Sue, I'm so bummed that you voted for me. And suddenly it's on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for him, it's just like a conversation, something he says in the course of many, many hours of life.
Yeah. So, Stephen, it should be a particularly crazy first tribal council after the merge. I mean, I was trying to think about this today in terms of who is potentially going to win the game. And I really there's nobody that I can point to and say that, boy, I feel really good about this person moving forward. It seems like it's such a mishmash.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like a lot of the people. I mean, I thought Phoebe was doing really well. I thought she could have won. I don't know. I really don't know. Matt is doing well. Brooke, we see a lot of Brooke. You know, she seems to be in a good position. If she's the one who was chosen to go to the other tribe, presumably they're picking someone who's a consensus vote, who everyone likes. I'm assuming that means Brooke's in a strong spot there. We've seen some Brooke-Matt tension. You know, that's got to play out in some capacity. Sue, I think Sue's going to the end.
Going to the end. Zero vote finalist, Sue, you think?
I don't know if she'll get zero votes, you know. Yeah. Anna's got some life in her, or whatever she said.
Yeah, we don't know.
You'd vote for her. You'd vote for Sue.
Sure, anytime.
So maybe Nick will vote for Sue.
No, I don't. Not after that.
No, but you know, it's like one of those things where the person you hate most is the person you vote for.
When does that happen?
Didn't like Nyanka vote for Chase?
No, she voted for Fabio.
Oh, that's what I mean, for Fabio. She voted for Fabio, like who she like hated the whole game. She's so sick of him, and then she voted for him.
Yeah, but he's so funny.
Yeah.
I bet she wishes she had that vote back. I bet she was like, boy, I wish I would have hooked up Chase Rice.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Like, boy, I had a chance to really do a solid for a very famous person.
Yeah.
But whatever. Steven, so I want to also get into talking about, I lost it. No. In terms of how this first merge vote is going to go, it just does seem like it's going to be really crazy. And I wonder if we could have some sort of like a Galoo type FOA action here with a 10-4 merge. Do you think that we've had Sinapu, who have been isolated by themselves for so long, you have people like Kylie getting on everybody's nerves and people like that. Could we have a implosion of the Sinapu tribe coming out into this tribal council?
I think it's likely, right? But it's not necessarily the same as Galoo or Fo'afo'a because, you know, this is not a tribe that's been together from the start. There's no, like, one cohesive adversary, right? The whole thing with the Galoo or Fo'afo'a is, like, you've got this huge tribe, or Timbira, thanks, you've got this huge tribe who is then picked apart by the smaller unified force. The fact is, like, you know, the Sinapu now is made up of three different tribes, right? They've already had a swap. You know, they have people who have come in at like totally different times throughout the game. So it's never been a cohesive unit. It's always been a fractious group of different competing interests, and it's just never had a chance to settle that. You know, it's never had a chance for alliances to solidify around an actual vote. So I definitely think, you know, I expect that the primary, you know, merge action is going to be Sinapu, because there's really no one left on the other side, right?
And it's tricky because we have like three different groups, and I feel like in some ways it's a little bit like the Worlds Apart merge, where there's sort of like some overlap in two of the groups, where you have on the one side, you have the group that's Sam, Lee, and then L, and then is Kylie with them? And then Jenna Louise, is that a thing?
I don't know. I mean,
Why would you say
Kylie was with them?
Because I don't even remember who's with who over at Sinapu. And then
go ahead.
And then you have sort of like the Flick, Brooke, a couple of the women over there. And then I guess Matt is the original Sinapu people still kind of together. I mean, we have no idea how this is going to shake out at that first vote.
Rob, you know, you played a long time ago when it really was the case that, you know, you had like there was this group and this group. And that was what it was like for me the first time I played too, which was even then much after you had played. Even then, even my first time was like many years after your last time. Mm-hmm. So I just think, you know, now so many years even after that, it's the game is not like that anymore. It's not like group A and group B and group C. It's like, it's fluid. You know, there's like different.
Are you trying to say that there's voting blocks again?
I'm trying not to use that word.
Trying to say
per
that?
Se.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
After you, proved that theory, so recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
About the voting blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the voting blocks? I mean, I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm not saying the earth is flat. I'm asking who's in them.
You got like Sam and L. I mean, sorry, Lee and L are together, right? And Brooke and Flick are together. And you have like Sam, and he's kind of like between those two groups because he loves Lee, but he's got like old loyalty to Brooke and Flick. And then you have Nick, who like thinks he's with, you know, probably some of the Sinapu people, but you know, maybe he and Jenna Lewis, they had a nice conversation. You know, maybe there's some, Matt and Nick voted together once. And you know, there's so much that we don't know.
Yeah.
So much.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into some of these questions and bounce around to these other topics.
One last thing. Vote split. Episode 12. Craig didn't split the votes.
They didn't. Do you think they should have done 2-2-2?
Oh no! I was hoping that you would jump on them for not splitting the votes, and I was going to defend them.
I mean that they said what they were doing. They said, "Well, we want to just go pretty much by the book because we want to build trust with Christy." I mean, we talked about like that it was kind of kooky to tell Phoebe about that they were going to put the votes on her, but that was why they did it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could have done a 2-2-2 split.
I also think it can also be dangerous to split the votes. You know, you just don't know. You know, you just don't know which way it's going to work out. That was going to be my point. I was setting it up, but you kind of diffused it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Thomas Zelenka wants to know, why in the hell would you do kidnapping instead of proper vote off just one elimination before the merge? That is a great question, Rob.
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking the same thing. I mean, Kelly sent us an email to say, was this the most pointless twist in Survivor history? It's just it. Other than it bought production another episode, I mean, that's what you could say that was the reason for this twist. That they had an episode, but then why take us to try? It was like a blue ballot situation where, all right, you got me all worked up. We're ready to vote, and then we're going to like get you right to the precipice of okay, tribal council. Like actually, we're not going to have a vote.
Right.
So. I would almost rather the episode didn't have tribal council. Like, I don't need to set the table and sit there at tribal council to only not have a vote. If you're not going to have a vote, like, don't get me out there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that was frustrating. And then to have it where it just blew up in the face of, you know, the number one superstar of Australian Survivor in Phoebe. Steven, Phoebe, surefire must-have Australian Survivor All-Star?
Yeah, I think her and Craig both, you know, we got for the Survivor All-Stars, you know? But again, wow. Like, if you're going to have 30 All-Stars, you're going to need, like, 10 seasons before you even... I guess they had 8 in America before they had one.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, Pat also has an email question that says, Craig's quote as he leaves, "Someone sitting here better win this. Is this like a blue-collar Lindsay calling her shot? Do you think that is that the prophecy of Craig that somebody from the Vow is going to win the game?"
Gosh, I don't know who that would be. I guess I'm Sue. Sue.
Yeah, if you had to pick a winner from the Vow, who would it be?
Sue.
Sue.
What do you think?
Sue the winner? Boy. I don't know. I feel like that Kate has
Kate?
More.
Kate over has, Connor? Kate is like third for me.
Connor is just so blah.
That's hurtful.
Well, I mean, what does that he has so much heart, I guess.
Yeah, and he's such a fan of the game.
Is he? He's not playing like one.
Mm-hmm. But you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a kid. He's young. All right, John Dedsford wants to know, should Phoebe have done a 3-2-1 on Christy instead of idling Craig?
3-2-1 against, so.
This is episode 12.
Yes.
You've got I don't even know who that would be in this.
I guess are they the two? I'm not sure necessarily.
Who's the three? I guess she would join with. I don't know.
Sorry, get out the chalkboard and.
Here's the problem with that. Like the Vow wants to take out Phoebe, so she can't really do a 3-2-1 when she's the target.
Yeah. Okay, here's another question. Danny Louie wants to know, what do you think about Nick's decision to clear the air with Sue in front of the entire tribe? I don't like clearing the air in front of everybody.
Yeah, I agree. It's not the best.
You clear the air in private, Steven.
Yeah.
That's the best place to clear the air.
Yeah.
The air in private.
Oh, John Jensen just tweeted at me. He meant get them to split the votes on her and Christy, and then she should vote for Christy.
But how are you going to get them to split the votes unless you sort of like say like, hey, I have an idol. I might play it on me. I might play it on Christy tonight. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean,
John's point though is that the split vote is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, then she's losing her best ally. Although she does have her idol. It's a good point.
I mean, for Christy and for Phoebe, that they had everything they needed. There was going to be a blindside. They knew where the votes were going. They were going to play the idol.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, why do they need to change anything up? I mean, we could change up the target for who they put the votes on, but I don't know why they need to go and change from a 4-2 to 3-2-1.
And I think, well, I mean, for Phoebe, it would be to have the idol in the next tribal council. You know, I think in that situation, you're kind of like living vote to vote. You know, she would have really had to be sure that they were splitting the votes. And I don't think that's necessarily a certainty that she could have ever had.
Yeah. Even for Phoebe.
Yeah. All right, Sergio Bicas wants to know, based on CBS editing, who would you say that has a winner's edit in Australian Survivor among the remaining players? Greetings from Greece.
Oh, thank you. Do you see a winner's edit among these Australian Survivor players, Stephen?
It's hard. I mean, I think everyone has had a no confessional episode. You know, it's done so completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that there's been one person that we've seen that's been painted in this really flattering light. Everybody's sort of had moments. But I don't think there's one person where the editing has really just showed them never looking bad.
Well, yeah, there is.
Who?
Sam.
Sam?
Sam has never looked bad.
I guess so. I mean, he really hasn't been on the show very much.
I don't think Lee has looked that bad either.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But Sam especially has never looked bad.
Yeah, we did talk about Sam from early on that we said, okay, that in the first couple episodes, I felt like he did have that winner edit. Boy, Lee was looking especially good this week, Stephen.
Like physically.
Yes. I did like it when Matt was getting mad when all the women were leering at Lee.
Yeah, that was funny. Like, and he was like, oh, you girls are so fickle and love everybody.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I want to talk to you about the rewards. I know we've talked about before on this podcast.
Hungry Jack's, like, breakfast.
We had breakfast. We also had the Samoan feast, Stephen, yeah, which we got to see in all the gory details. Did you enjoy the Samoan feast reward?
I like the rewards. I feel like they could be shorter. I feel like I don't need every single person commenting about how much food there was. Like one person, you know, this is something you know, any kind of storytelling you learn. It's like, you don't need if you have one representative detail, you know, it's like Chekhov said, you get the entire night sky, like this entire moonlit night just from the reflection of light in a piece of glass on the beach. You know, you don't need to like say, and then there were a billion stars, and then there were a billion pieces of sand, and then there was a sky and an ocean. Like, you just need that one telling detail. And it's the same thing with Australian Survivor. You need that one telling confessional, not the 30 telling confessionals.
Yeah. I felt like, Stephen, and I'm glad you brought up Chekhov. I felt like that it was a great metaphor, the overindulgence at the Samoan feast. We got to really encapsulate what it's like to be an Australian Survivor viewer, Stephen. We're at this bountiful feast, and everything is, oh, Phoebe, oh, Nick, oh, this is also good. Oh, this is Idols. And we're so overindulged by the end of this week that it's just like, by the end of Tuesday, we're regurgitating it back up. It's too much.
Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. It's a lot for us to process. The thing I will say, though, in defense of it, which I do like, and a lot of people have commented on, is that, you know, it's a lot of television. No question about that. But you really know these people now. And it's like, we're just getting into
on
the merge.
Vival.
And there's so, well, even on Sinopoli to a lesser extent, you know, there's so much history. There's so much, like, interesting dynamics that are going to play out. And, you know, I think there's a lot of potential for this merge to be really interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's very fun to be able to have this sort of season to be able to, because I do think in terms of like comparing it to the American season, it's just like an additional 55 days of sort of like research and points of like, oh, actually it was like this. But it's so much to process from week to week.
Yeah, it is a lot to process from week to week. But it's interesting, like going into the American Survivor, we're like, you know, every season at the start, and you've done a couple of podcasts about it, but I like to come in fresh and kind of unbiased. Not that you're biased, but that you've been talking about it. You probably know who these contestants are. I don't have no idea. You know, so for me, it's like 20 strangers. Then I look at these like 18 people or whatever it is, I guess 13 now on Australian Survivor. I'm like, I know every one of these people. Except Brooke, I don't really know Brooke that well. But other than that, I know every one of them like pretty well.
What about L?
I don't know L that well either.
Yeah. Okay.
Like they could have done Louise. More. We could have gotten some more of the finagling and the tensions. That's what we're missing. Is like there's strategy happening on Sinopu and we're not seeing it.
Yeah. Should we have gotten a week where we sent both tribes to tribal council? One episode, two tribal councils?
Yeah. Oh my God. One episode, 14 tribal councils.
Boom, yeah, you voted them onto the other team. Yeah. But at least you would have gotten to see the politics there. I feel like I would rather have done that again, where we send two tribes to tribal council and vote somebody. I mean, I guess they're not going to fall for it again. But I feel like to the future Australian Survivor players, if you ever sit at tribal council and there's any representative of another tribe at your tribal council, somebody's not getting voted out at that tribal council.
That's not always true.
It's not?
If you're an Australian survivor,
and there is somebody from the other tribe sitting there at tribal council.
Yeah, you're right. Someone's
nobody's getting voted out.
You're all safe. Totally.
Yeah. It's almost like the Amazing Race in that there's just non-elimination legs. It's just like a fact of life where in US Survivor, somebody's getting voted out or medevaced every 3 days. That is a fact of life out there on a Survivor season where Australian Survivor, you're just going to have some times where this was a non-elimination.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think? What did you think of Jonathan in the tribal council? Were you as upset as the internet is?
No, I don't think. I think that would be impossible. But I think that I was like, boy, he's really laying into Phoebe.
So you didn't think it was unfair for him to out like all of the dynamics. You didn't think it was like for him to be like, man, Phoebe, when you played your idol, you all were so upset about that.
Didn't bum me out too much. I did like it when he was really putting the pressure on Christy about, so did you know that they're playing the idol or you didn't know?
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that part.
I liked it when he's putting pressure on someone, but I didn't like when he was like recounting for it seemed like for Brooke. I mean,
I think it's probably overstated the impact of that. I don't think it ultimately changed anything. In a vacuum, he probably shouldn't do it, but I didn't think it was a huge factor in anything.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. More questions. Garrett Coulter, Who do you think will be the first post-merge boot? I'm going to keep my flag planted. I think it'll be Kylie.
I think Kylie, too. They're really setting it up that she's not gelling. I mean, who else could it be? It's probably not going to be one of the dudes. You know, an American Survivor, right, the classic merge boot would be Lee. But I think, as we've discussed, like, the classic merge boot actually doesn't even happen that often.
I think Sam.
You know, maybe Nick. You know, they showed Nick as potential having, you know.
Yeah. I do think that Nick is another person. Like, it needs to be somebody that you, I mean, you have 14 people, so you need some sort of, like, overall consensus of, like, who has annoyed enough people that people are going to say, okay, sure, after 32 days, that'll be the person that we vote out here in this spot. And so there's enough people that have had sort of, like, a history with Nick where they may not love him enough, where you have people from old Vavow and Sioux loyalists along the way and whoever else who thinks, okay, oh, he's a, you know, a fitting merge boot in terms of that he's been really good at the challenges. So I think that he's in the conversation. You have Kylie, who's just annoyed so many people over there at the new Sinapu.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't even know if there's anybody else that we could really throw out there.
I mean, like Christy, who never gelled with, now has, like, basically no one in the game.
That's possible, but I feel like that it seems like that, like, is a waste of the vote. I think Connor is somebody else that if Sinapu says, okay, let's just, like, wipe out Vavow, okay, he's the biggest challenge threat over there, so why don't we take out Connor? And especially because he does have some bad blood.
Kate is pretty good.
Kate's pretty good, but in terms of, like, there's some bad blood between him and Flick from going back to the whole vote where Nick ended up getting voted
Connor
out.
Connor was tight with Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Sam can talk some sense to everybody over there.
Yeah.
Okay, Steven, what about this next question from Thomas Alberts?
All right, Thomas Alberts wants to know, who at Merge do you believe will become the new master manipulator? Do you also think that Sinapu 9 plus Sue will crumble at the Merge?
Well, the one person that we feel like, you know, could potentially go there, I think, is Nick. But let's just talk about Matt, too. But let's talk about Nick, because let's do the fan fiction of where Nick ends up really excelling in the merge. Can you paint that scenario, Steven?
The thing is, like, a lot of people don't. I mean, the fact is he's got. What do you mean paint that scenario here?
Like, what does that look like where we sit here and Nick is in the final four?
You mean who's he there with? Like, who's he got?
Yeah.
How
does he pull that off? Because it does feel like that he is not in tight with any of the really powerful alliances in the game. You could say that, okay, well, he has a connection to Matt, but Matt doesn't even really trust him that much. So what's the scenario that Nick is sitting there in 2 weeks when we're at day 40?
I think for Nick, it's all going to be all about, right, just like being in the middle, right? Like, that's for him the best case. It's like, you've got these other groups that are kind of forming up and he's not in, you know, maybe for him it is just like sort of being at the margins of all of them. Cause like that's, you know, it's dangerous being at the margins at the beginning, but once you hit the merge, you know, it's like the groups kind of like go up against each other and they keep on trying to take off the leaders of each other rather than the guy who's the lowest on the totem pole. Maybe Nick can play that sort of Spencer spot where it's like, he's like between the two.
Yeah. Steven, I think this is an interesting point where if Nick ends up going out, I think that in this 55-day game, I think that really like any tall blade of grass in terms of gameplay this season is just being completely wiped off the map. Anybody who's trying to play that hard eventually ends up meeting their demise, especially now if we're going to lose somebody like Nick. And if we lose Matt, too, it's really like anybody who is going to be playing this hard. I think that we might be left with like the final like 8 or 9 people being all kind of, to use the Cochrane phrase, vanilla.
But, you know, it's a country that we know that loves vanilla.
Do they? Is that well known?
Everyone says that all of our Australian correspondents who come on say, you know, people just love like the really good people. They don't want the schemey strategists. Like they want the Sams. They want the Sues of the world. So, you know,
I won't like that.
No. It's possible, though, that we'll also see someone, you know, shine. You know, there's more than enough time, right?
I guess so. But there's a lot of votes that you have to navigate through. And if you're giving anybody a reason to vote you out, I mean, there's still going to be, 11 more votes?
Well, no, I mean, 11 more eliminations.
Yeah.
Probably 30 more votes.
30 more votes.
Yeah.
All right. It's tough. Yeah. Tough road to hoe to get to the end of Australian Survivor. All right, Steven, what do you have from Logan?
Logan wants to know, is Phoebe All-Star worthy in your opinion after her performance this season, given her circumstances?
Absolutely. Why? How could you not say that?
Yeah. The answer is yes.
Boo this man for even implying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then let's do one or two more questions. Bartledew, do you think that they should have done another tribe swap to even up the tribe, Stephen? Would you prefer that?
Yeah, I do think they should have done another tribe swap. I think, I mean, they had like a solid, what?
A
like
swap five, or a merge?
Five or six. I think they should have done another swappy merge. And okay, swappy merge. Just to like even it up a little bit, I do think they should have done maybe like two votes in. You know, you need two or three solid votes to like for the dynamics to play out. But after that, I think you can do it. They should have done another swap after three votes, had three votes, and then a merge at 12.
Okay. Yeah. And you wanted to see them even up the numbers, or the numbers need to be uneven?
No, I think they should have evened the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Yeah. All right. Mike Bloom wants to know, Connor has now been rejected three times by Sinapu. Do you think he'll still have an in post-merge? It really is heartbreaking. Like, every time there's a time to, like, choose, like, Connor gives them the puppy dog eyes, and, you know, and they're like, no,
thank you, Connor. Yeah. We don't want you here. Go away. All right. Last question, Stephen. Brooke Howard says, I feel like I could have tweaked the twist to have Brooke join Vavau and choose someone from her tribe to join her instead. Thoughts?
That was my fear.
An advantage.
That was my fear for them. And yeah, they won it. They won an advantage. It shouldn't be like, oh, you're totally screwed now. Like, rather than like having won an immunity challenge, you're actually getting, and an advantage, you're actually getting totally effed because you're forced to join the losing tribe as the outsider.
Can I also ask, is it too much to ask how we got Brooke at the tribal council? Like, I kind of feel like that was an important decision, that it was sort of like and here's Brooke. And by the way, off camera, genius style, we told her about this big twist and you didn't get to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay with them not revealing the twist, but I did think that it would have been interesting to see. I mean, like, we really, really haven't gotten any Sinapu politics. Give us 5 minutes less of Feast and more, and, you know, 5 minutes of Sinapu
too much
strategy.
Okay, Steven. All right. We're going to talk about the hashtag.
Okay.
I'm going to let the chat room marinate on it for a second as we get ready here. In but 24 hours, Millennials versus Gen X, the Survivor offseason will officially be over.
It'll be over. We'll be preparing for our first know-it-alls. Fortunately, neither with you nor Wiggler.
Yeah, very sad stuff. But Josh Wiggler will be back for the Wiggle Room later on this week.
Oh, so he's got time for the Wiggle Room, but not time for the know-it-alls.
I mean, it's not going to be recording at the same time as the Big Brother finale. Okay. I mean, if Josh said he could only do it during the Big Brother finale, I wouldn't have time for that either.
You guys, it hurts my feelings. But I'm going to be here for everybody. I'll be here, as promised.
Steven will be here. And a people blog forthcoming on Thursday?
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it already, Eric Reichenbach is going to be drawing again for the blog. So he's got and actually tomorrow we're going to have up some of my favorite of his comics ever on Mashable. That'll be fun.
Is Eric a millennial or a Gen Xer?
He's a millennial. We're technically the divisions that they have are not really that correct. We technically, Rob, are on the cusp between the two generations.
Yeah, that I think it's people who graduated high school after 2000. I think that's like the official line.
No,
in the
sometimes it's like late birth date of late 70s. I was graduated high school. Like, what is that? Like, what if you were like, you know, you
come out into the world.
But I'm saying, what if you came back, you know, 20 years later, you know, got your GED, or then you then a millennial?
Yeah, that's it. Then you were a millennial. Then if you get a GED, then you're a millennial now. You did it.
I'm just saying high school graduation has nothing to do with anything.
I'm the world's oldest millennial. Yeah. Look at me. Boy, let's write the comedy script now.
No, it's about
Kevin James is the millennial.
Listen, I'm Googling millennial right now. Okay. And millennial says demographic cohort. There are no precise dates for when the generation starts or ends. But it's typically considered early 1980s, so it's there's no precise dates.
Okay. All right.
We're on the cusp, Rob, and that makes us interesting because it's always the people who are between the generations who are the great innovators.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair to say. All right. So, Stephen, let's see. People are saying Crazy Christy, fan favorite Christy.
Game changer.
Game changer. Is she a game changer, Christine?
She did tonight. She changed the game.
She certainly did.
I like fan favorite Christine's pretty good.
I really didn't like when she was talking about how, oh, Phoebe thinks she can play me. Like, she basically did like the, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So did not care for that attitude, Christy.
Why?
Because we love Phoebe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, okay. But there was nothing wrong with her saying that.
I mean, she should know. She should know better. Phoebe for All Star. Again, I don't want to have people tweeting out that, you know, and I don't want to spoil it for other people.
Yeah.
So, all right. So how about anything from the Merge Feast, Steven?
Merge Feast?
Less feasting? Oh, less feasting?
Oh, yeah. Less feasting. That's good.
Okay. Hashtag less feasting. Yeah. All right, so we'll be back next week to talk about everything that's going on in the merge of Australian Survivor. Can you believe it, Stephen?
I can't. I can't believe that we got here.
Will we, next week, have a merge vote in episode number 15, or will it be a two-parter like the first merge vote?
You're probably right. You're probably right.
I think we get an hour of the merge politics, and then I don't think we have a vote until we get to episode
16. Think, no, you're calling your shot, no vote, episode 15. No votes?
No vote, episode 15. I say, yeah, to only two tribal councils in these next three episodes.
Wow, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it.
All right, what are you going to do? All right, but we know for sure we're getting a tribal council. Oh, unless somebody gets medevaced, I guess.
I don't know.
With the first, probably a tribal council. Yeah. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, good stuff. Follow Steven on Twitter. He's at Steven Fishback. I'm at Rob Cisternino. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And be sure to join us for our Survivor coverage. Make sure you subscribe to the main podcast, robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye. Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.